very appropriate music for Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, because during this break, Gerard did another 50 push-ups. I'm done at 50. I signed off. I did my 50. Hopefully, I can still move by the rest of the show. This man knocked off another. You do 300 of these in the course of a day, you said?
Yeah, it's not that bad, though, Vic. If you've been doing it as long as I've been doing them, you get used to it.
That's
and your
awesome.
Body acclimates.
I'm impressed.
Kind of like what Trent Richardson is going to do.
We got to get Nathan in here and start having him do his routine as well. They might as well just, you know, turn this into a gym, too.
Might as well. Get a curl bar rack right there in the corner.
Nice. We are still the only place, I think, in the building that has lights on. And I'm seeing from some lights from computers or from screens, you know, computer screens. Everything else is essentially dark. I know the folks are working on getting lights on elsewhere, but we've got lights. We've got our power connection to be on the air, so we're good with that. Again, it's Vic Carucci, Gerard Cherry, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Call us, 216-578-0850. Want to get your thoughts on the quarterback competition. Do you feel there's a competition? Do you feel that this is really as close as Rob Chudzinski is suggesting it is, based on what you've seen, either by coming out to practice here in Berea or by watching last Thursday's preseason game between the Browns and the Rams? And you can tweet us this as well, @Browns_daily. Let's talk a little about Trent Richardson. He's going to get his first action tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. And Coach said it'll be a couple of series or so for him. That in itself is a little of a surprise, because I think we got the drift, at least early on, that, you know, they talked about this plan. The coach talked about this plan of using Richardson, and he didn't play in that Rams game, and you almost got the feeling he wasn't going to play in game two either, and that maybe it would come down to a series or so in the third preseason game against Indianapolis. But he is playing tomorrow night. What do you make of this?
Couple things, Vic. First of all, I gotta give this organization props, because they've done a great job of keeping us guessing. Because you just said it, we thought Trent Richardson more than likely would just sit out the whole entire preseason as opposed to playing in the GLC. Mm-hmm. So that alone is a sign of progress in my mind, because if you can not have the media know what you're gonna do and tip off the other team, that's a good sign for an organizational standpoint that people are on the same page. Now, as far as Trent Richardson is concerned, Vic, I would say that he said this, and I'm just paraphrasing, I'm the type of player, Trent Richardson speaking, who likes to get involved, get contact, and get a feel, and get comfortable. And if you're that type of a running back, you need to go boom, pow, bang, and hit guys and just be aggressive and do what you do, because he's that type of a back. So I understand why he needs to get out there and just have some sense of contact to get a feel for the game. I think he's a tough-minded player, and I think he has dog in him. And if he did miss, I'd be okay with that. But I think so he could be at his optimal level come week one of the regular season, he needs to go out there and get a little bit of action.
This is what Trent Richardson had to say when learning he'd be playing tomorrow night.
Oh, he told you?
Yeah.
Well,
hey. Couple series.
Couple series. Well, hey, I'm surprised. Like, y'all, I'm happy, and I can't wait to get up out there. And so I kind of had a feeling that he was going to say yeah today, because he had me going in with the ones today on the, you know, with all the group installer stuff today. So it felt good when I was out there, and, you know, I'm happy Coach told me. Told y'all I can play.
Is it a sigh of relief for you?
Oh, yeah, it's a big relief. You know, I want to play at all time, you know, and I'm just real happy with the decision Coach just made.
So not only was the media kind of kept in the dark about this and a little bit of a surprise, mm-hmm. perhaps, to hear that, Trent Richardson. And you wonder if, to some degree, it's the mental aspect of that, because he's wanted – to hear exactly what we're talking about. He wants to hear the guy say, I want to play. And he wanted to be out there last week. He wants to be out there in practice. He wants to be out there doing everything. I don't think there's any doubting the desire of Trent Richardson. But the way this is being controlled is just that. It's the coaching staff controlling how this is going to work out for him, knowing it's a high attrition, high contact right. position, right? And now they've decided this is the game to get him his first taste.
Yeah, and the coaches are controlling. And the good thing about it is Trent's not complaining to the media saying, hey, or throwing the coaching staff on the bus. I want to be out there, guys, but they won't let me. He's going along with the program and the process. So you appreciate that on Trent's part. And how often do you hear a running back happy to be playing in the preseason game? That's not often, so that just shows you Trent Richardson's attitude as well, and that's a positive, that he wants to be out there and get a crack at things just to get himself established and get going with this season. So you can take a lot from this, man. And again, you want him to come out of this obviously unscathed, but he actually needs some bumps and bruises to recover from it and is fine for himself in the mental capacity that, you know what, I am still a beast when I play this game.
We're going to have Chris Bukowski, by the way, from the Detroit News, join us in a little bit, about 10 minutes or so, to talk about the Lions. He covers that team. And at about 2:15, you will hear from Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns. And we're also looking, because he's in for a production meeting today, Bernie Kosar in the building, to hear from Bernie and get some thoughts on what he has seen from that first game of the preseason. And we'll get some other thoughts from Bernie Kosar. So that's all coming up. Back to the running back situation. Now, the depth is a conversation, and we talked about this yesterday with Nathan and yours truly. Montario Hardesty, the news today that he's going to have a knee scope. The news just continues to pile on with this guy. He had the thumb injury the other day. Now he's getting a scope on his knee. And, you know, you just wonder if it just isn't meant to be. I mean, because he's had knee trouble before. It's just one thing after another with Montario.
Yeah, and you feel awful for this situation for Montario Hardesty not being able to participate and play, because he's in no position to get multiple surgeries with his job being on the line. I'm sure he's aware of that, but he must obviously be hurting really bad to take this type of approach, because you're in jeopardy. So yeah. I feel for him, and you're right, Vic. Maybe it's just not meant to be, and you hate to sound so black and white on that, and it comes off as cold. But when you have this many injuries this early on in your career, and it carries over from your college career, right, chances are when you're in the NFL, it's going to exacerbate. It's not going to get better unless you take something to make it better. And more than likely, something like deer antler is illegal last time I checked. So I feel for the man, and I hope he does get a chance to make a comeback. But right now, being real with you, it's not looking good.
It really isn't. And you look elsewhere. By the way, the lights have come on in the building. We're happy to say
that. I must have said something
that
very insightful, huh?
You did. It was just as you were speaking, the let there be light. The battle behind Trent Richardson is now Deion Lewis, we would assume, has forged something. I mean, in the way of a, certainly as a role. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can call him. Can you just flat out say he's got to be the guy to be the second back? Or do you want that guy to be a little bit of a bigger, stronger player like a Brandon Jackson for that role, and then you're more specialized with Deion Lewis? What do you think?
I have no problem with him being labeled as a specialist role, and I think he can run outside in between the tackles if asked to do that on an occasional basis. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to give the ball to him 30 to 40 times a game. That's Trent Richardson's job. That's what he's getting paid for. And, yeah, Brandon Jackson, he could tote the rock as well. But what you want in all these scenarios, and North Turner was just here, and I'm pretty sure he'd agree with me, I want to create mismatches. And when Deion is on the field and a linebacker is checking him, or an open field situation, be a safety linebacker, cornerback, and he's open in the field, it's a mismatch. Right. So if I can get him on the football field and he can create a mismatch, I'm good to go. So if more guys that you have create mismatches, the better off you're going to be offensively.
Yeah, I think it's that multiple talent thing that taps into the creativity of North Turner, of Rob Chudzinski. This is what they like to do. They,
right,
you know, for Rob Chudzinski as an offensive coordinator, going to Carolina a few years ago, and then see a guy like Cam Newton and identify that not only can this guy throw the ball a mile, big arm player, but he has that rare running ability. He's a big body. So let's use this read option offense. Let's use this pistol stuff. And again, think out of the box. And I think that's the thing. And in talking with North Turner about this, he said one of the things he loves about working with Chudzinski is the willingness to be creative, to kind of step out of themselves and say, there's might be another way to do this, as opposed to, say, the conventional thinking that gets very boring with a football team and with an offense. And boring isn't, you know, if boring wins, I'm all for boring. I don't know if you can afford to be boring anymore, because I don't think boring's going to win. I think creativity is the way you got
to
go.
Yeah, creativity, and I add to that putting your players in a position to succeed.
Yeah.
Because there's one thing to be a West Coast-oriented offense and do the 5-yard slants day in and day out. But what if your quarterback's not fit for that type of a system or style? What if your wide receivers aren't fit for that? What if your running back's better in open space getting a swing pass as opposed to setting up a screen? You should be thinking about, in my opinion as a coach, how can I set my players up to succeed? Because guess what? When you do that, guys buy into what you're saying because they feel that you have their back. And that's the part about football that people need to get. Right. It's about you as a coach convincing players that you have their best interests at heart on and off the field. The next level coaches make you feel that way off the field as well.
No, that's so true. And I love that insight, and I love the fact that you can look at this team, look at what they have in the way of players, and believe that you can do those creative things we talk about, mm-hmm. because defenses are just too good, and defensive coordinators are just too smart and have a lot of time, you know, the Ray Hortons of this game, to study what the trends are offensively and come up with the antidote. And they do find antidotes.
Right.
Defenses always. I know I'm appealing to your defensive nature as that's where you played, but don't defenses always find the antidote?
Yeah, Wildcat. It was in vogue for a year or two, and then it got shut down.
Yep.
This read option, Kaepernick and RG3 may want to stay back in the pocket pretty soon because guys are going to get hip to it, and they're going to draft guys that will be able to run them down and body slam them once they catch up to them.
Yeah.
So it's going to have its run, but you're right, Vic. How can you find multiple ways in which I can use this skill set, I can use this skill set, and when you're really one of those brainiac genius offensive guru types, you find a bunch of different things which you do with four guys in one play, and one of them may be open. Now, that calls for your quarterback to be able to decipher all that information and make those reads, and that's where Brandon Whedon or Jason Campbell or Brian Hoyer, since we're still in a quarterback battle, have to figure things out.
No doubt.
I'm winking my eye when I say that.
I know you are. I saw that. Brown single game tickets, they're on sale now. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium for Browns football. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 1-800-745-3000 today. Okay, coming up on this edition of CBD from the Dog Bowl here in Berea, we're going to talk with Chris McCoskey. He covers the Detroit Lions for the Detroit News, so we'll get some breakdown on that team. Vic Carucci, Gerard Cherry, you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.